I want to devote the beginning of this episode of the Ref and the Kicker podcast here on Arrowhead Addict. I want to devote it to an inspirational message. You know, life can be tough sometimes, so I think we ought to take it like the Kansas City Chiefs, just 3 points at a time. One day at a time, 3 points at a time. Don't try to bite off more than you can chew. If you can score just a little bit every day, then you too can have a 1-3 record in games or in life in general. Welcome to Ref and the Kicker on Arrowhead Addict Radio. I'm Joshua Briscoe on Twitter at JB Briscoe. Tweet your thoughts, comments, questions to me there. Today we're going to be talking about the Bengals game, how the Chiefs ended up with 7 field goals, no touchdowns, and a big old loss. Then we're going to look ahead to the Sunday's game against the Chicago Bears in Arrowhead. And I will tell you, if the Chiefs don't beat the Bears at home, this season is completely over. You could say it's overreacting, but whenever your team can only score in threes, the optimism starts to leak out of your eyes in the form of tears. Last week, we kicked off the show with kind of the big abstract issue, or at least the big topic with the Chiefs after the Packers game, and it was quarterbacks. This week, let's start off talking about this defense, because something is going horribly, horribly wrong. Before the season, many, many people, fans, analysts, fanalists, as I would consider myself, I suppose, in this case myself included, thought that the Chiefs would be probably a top 5 defense. They were getting Mike DeVito back. Dontari Poe's injury was devastating at first, or it seemed like it would be, but he came back more quickly than you would expect. Sean Smith missing 3 games was a big problem, but Marcus Peters joining the team was great. Steven Nelson, the 3rd-round draft pick. I'll talk about Steven Nelson in a second. Yikes. Eric Berry returns. Ron Parker's going to be just a safety. Tyvon Branch is added to the mix. There was so much like about this defense, not even to mention Justin Houston gets a big contract. I think John Clayton said in the preseason the Chiefs had the best pass rushing duo in the NFL with Houston and Haley, plus Dee Ford is there. Jay Howard has played very well, for the most part, has played very well. Alan Bailey continued to improve through the preseason, we thought. I mean, they even added the inside linebacker depth, which with Ramiq Wilson and DJ Alexander, the 2 draftees. And I haven't even mentioned yet, one of the best players in the history of the team, Derek Johnson, returns after missing the whole last season. So the run defense issue seemed to have stopped. Last year, the Chiefs had one of the best overall pass defenses in the NFL, partially because teams would exploit them on the ground. But that was everything to worry about, because even without Marcus Peters being on the team yet, when Sean Smith was on the field, the pass defense was good. This year, none of it is good. None of it is going well. The Chiefs have given up the most points in the NFL so far this season. Pro Football Reference has the Chiefs as the worst defense in the NFL right now, statistically. This is a disaster. This is an absolute train wreck. And there are plenty of things wrong with the team right now. You know, guys not getting open, guys not making plays, turnovers in the Broncos game. Alex Smith is not Aaron Rodgers, I understand, although I do appreciate it when people remind me. But this is supposed to be a strength of this team, this defense. Something that we could actually reliably always have to fall back on. And it is a disaster right now. Now, you can say, fairly, that with the exception of the Texans in Week 1, they've played 3 very good offenses. But Peyton Manning in the Broncos offense has not been Peyton Manning of old. Aaron Rodgers at home in Green Bay. I said last week, there's no shame in giving up points to Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, but there was no pass rush. And there was entirely no pass rush on Sunday against the Bengals. No sacks, no hits on Andy Dalton. It doesn't matter who you're playing. If you don't hit the opposing quarterback one time, you're going to lose that game. Just like if you have 5 turnovers, you're going to lose that game. It's one of the turnovers and getting pressure on the quarterback are 2 of the most straightforward things in football. And by the way, in this game, Cincinnati, no turnovers. If you cannot hit the quarterback or even hurry the quarterback, and you cannot force a turnover in the NFL, you're going to lose. Obviously, there are exceptions, but take that as a whole. Some other good stuff can happen. Like in this case, Alex Smith threw for 386 yards. hit Jeremy Maclin 11 times for 148 yards. The Chiefs moved the ball pretty well. They had possession of the ball much longer than the Bengals ever did. But it didn't matter. Now, in this case, also, we'll talk about like red zone scoring and everything. I'll come back to that. But if you can't hit the quarterback and you can't force turnovers, you have no chance. You have no chance in a game. Back to the defense as a whole. I said earlier that the Chiefs have given up the most points in the NFL. I should correct myself. They're tied for last with the Chicago Bears. So maybe take the over in the game on Sunday, which is actually a pretty phenomenal thing to have to say in a Chiefs-Bears game where both offenses don't seem to be particularly good. In yards given up, from worst to first, it goes Browns, Raiders, Dolphins, Chiefs right at four. But the Chiefs are 13th in plays run against them, essentially, on defense, which if you hop over to yards per play, per offensive play, you find the Chiefs at fourth again. The Chiefs are giving up an average of 6.1 yards per offensive play. So rushing passing yards divided by pass attempts, rush attempts, time sacked. That's the Pro Football Reference formula for yards per offensive play. Saints, Browns, Niners, Chiefs. None of those teams are winning any games. Takeaways. The Chiefs are tied for third with three. Two of those are Marcus Peters. The average in the NFL right now is just under six. They have three. Half of the average, if you're not good at math. San Francisco, Houston, New Orleans, Washington, Jacksonville, Kansas City. That's the list. 49ers and Texans both have two turnovers forced. The rest of those teams have three, along with the Cowboys, Dolphins, Colts. Even the Bears have four. None of those teams I just mentioned are very good. This team has a defense problem, which is something that none of us could have justifiably expected coming into the year. The Chiefs have given up the most passing touchdowns in the NFL through four games with 11. That's in first place by themselves with only two interceptions. Again, both Marcus Peters. Sean Smith was suspended for the first three games, and then in that third game, Philip Gaines tore his ACL. That's bad. That's a problem. I get it. Because then in every case, all four games this year, and then for the next 16 or for the next 12 in addition, I would assume we're going to see a lot of Jamel Fleming and Marcus Cooper or Ron Parker and Tyvon Branch playing the slot, which whenever the Chiefs signed Ron Parker, I'm going to go on a side tangent just for a second here. When the Chiefs gave Parker that big deal, I said, listen, this is fine as long as he never plays corner again. He's a fine safety. Don't make him play corner ever again. Ron Parker back at corner. And this isn't something where the team can change a little thing. Where the team could, say, replace Jamel Fleming with Marcus Cooper for a game. Because they did that in Green Bay, and it didn't work. It was bad. It might have been worse. Good quarterbacks are going to pick on that third corner. And that is going to fall to Bob Sutton. Because the Chiefs can't have some sort of... They can't bring in a motivational speaker to fix the defense's problems right now. But a good defensive coordinator and a presumably what used to be an elite pass rush for a second should be able to cover up that cornerback problem. If you've got Marcus Peters and Sean Smith on either side, by the way, Marcus Peters, who doesn't even get thrown at already, he's gone through four games. I don't think he's been targeted more than a handful of times again by Aaron Rodgers and Andy Dalton, who's on fire right now. I don't think either of those guys targeted him more than when they absolutely have to. There's certainly no picking on Marcus Peters. He looks fantastic. He looks like an all-pro right now because no one is throwing at him because he's playing that well. But I digress. You've got Sean Smith and Marcus Peters on the edges. Two very, very, very good corners. Bob Sutton can't figure out how to make the slot guy look okay. You can't figure out some way to put Jamel Fleming back there and say, okay, Jamel, do this. We're going to give you this safety help. Or we're gonna blitz. You only have to cover this guy in the slot for 2.5 seconds because we're going to bring the house on this one and we're going to get to the Dalton or Rodgers or Manning or Brian Hoyer or Jay Cutler this week. Really? You're going to just sort of let Jamel Fleming... We all know that Jamel Fleming and Marcus Cooper are not very good. And let's talk about Steven Nelson for a second. And I'm not mad at Steven Nelson, but I might be mad at the Chiefs. During pregame for the Chiefs on Sports Radio 810 WHB here in Kansas City, I was running the board for the pregame show, and whenever the inactives came out, the hosts were talking about different things. None of it was really a surprise. Then I brought up the idea of where is Steven Nelson? Steven Nelson's been inactive for four games. He's a third-round pick who is a slot corner, and the Chiefs, you could argue, have lost games on the slot corner at least once with Jamel Fleming getting toasted by Peyton Manning. You could say as many as three games, or at least all three of their losses would have been a heck of a lot closer if they had an okay slot corner instead of Fleming or Cooper. Or Ron Parker or Tyvon Branch or whoever ends up at the slot. And Steven Nelson not only can't get on the field, he can't get a jersey for the sidelines. He's in street clothes. He's a third-round pick. I don't know how many third-round picks have been inactive for all 4 weeks as healthy scratches in the NFL, but I've got to assume it's not very many, if any, other than Steven Nelson. And it's arguably at the Chiefs' biggest position of need right now. Again, they have the worst pass defense in the NFL by touch. They're going to have the most touchdowns. I think it's the fourth most yards again for pass defense. Fifth most yards. And that slot guy has been torched. Peters and Smith have been so good. The safeties have been much more average than I think we expected them to be with the depth that we thought they had. Although a guy whose name you don't hear called very often is Hussein Abdullah still, because he's playing very well consistently. You don't hear him get beat. But the biggest position of need the Chiefs have, they have a third-round draft pick, and he can't get on the field. That is really bad news. Really bad news. And the pass rush is just as much to blame here. The Chiefs are right in the middle of the pack in the NFL with 9 sacks, but even that sounds better than it actually is, because roll back to the Houston Texans game, week one against a team that looks pretty terrible at this point. The Chiefs had 5 sacks in that game. So they've had 4, to do the math for you, they've had 4 sacks in the last 3 games, 0 against the Bengals, couldn't even hit Andy Dalton. You can't win like that in the NFL. You cannot refuse to hit the quarterback and refuse to force a turnover and win football games. It's never going to happen. Let's hop through the game really quick. Started off pretty early on. The Bengals drove down for a touchdown. And at that point, a touchdown to Jeremy Hill, which became a trend on the day. And during that drive, I tweeted, what I think I'll be saying in 3 hours, the Chiefs are an average team which lost to 3 good teams. It's what they are. I hope I'm wrong. I wasn't wrong. That's what happened. Smith and the Chiefs offense responded admirably. Smith had a nice step up, slide and throw. He had a good drive, short, quick, efficient stuff. Wasn't a thrill to watch, to live through this Alex Smith experience, but it was a fine drive. The Chiefs drove. Andy Reid refused to go for it on fourth down, which I thought he should have, and we had a Cairo Santos field goal, 7-3 then. And I was pretty adamant at that point that the Chiefs, I said, I tell you, the Chiefs will not win, 1, a high-octane shootout, 2, while taking red zone field goals. I was right. I wish I wasn't. Then Brian Billick also made an interesting point on that drive, actually. He said, accuracy is more than just completing passes. Had Alex Smith hit Charles in stride earlier on that drive ends in a touchdown for the Chiefs rather than a field goal. And he's right. I thought that was a very, very good point that Billick made there. Smith played pretty well in this game. I mentioned his numbers earlier. It was a fine game for Alex Smith, but if he was even more precise, we were talking about it starting that game off 7-7. Andy Dalton, it started this way, it continued this way, it never changed. Andy Dalton had all day. At the end of the first quarter, it was a Giovanni Bernard touchdown rush to make it 14-3. And in the second quarter, though, the Chiefs scored 3 times. 14-3 at the end of the first quarter, okay? Then the Chiefs score 3 times in the second quarter on a 58, 60, and 49-yard drive. You go, hey, I take that. Chiefs are down by 11, but they score 3 times in the next possession. They got to take the lead at halftime. Nope, wrong. Very wrong. Field goal, field goal, field goal. Number 2, 3, and 4 for Cairo Santos on the day. Halftime was 14-12 Bengals. And if you ever thought the Chiefs were going to win this game with nothing but field goals, you were very, very wrong. So the defense looked bad. The offense moved the ball pretty well, but ended up looking bad. Third quarter, Brandon Tate from Andy Dalton, 55-yard touchdown, 21-12. Chiefs respond with another field goal. And then a Jeremy Hill 5-yard touchdown run, 2-point conversion for Jeremy Hill. And the Bengals take a 29-15 lead. The Chiefs respond with a 29-yard field goal in the fourth quarter. Jeremy Hill gets another touchdown, and the Chiefs then end off the game with another field goal. Yes, a Chiefs franchise record. Cairo Santos kicks a Brazilian field goal. It was my favorite tweet that I had all day because my other tweet just made me sad. 7 field goals in the day for Cairo Santos. Chiefs fall 36-21. The Bengals are a good team, but I'm gonna throw over to a couple of tweets to help tell this story as I try not to just lash out at the defense. Carrington Harrison from Danny Parkins, The Drive, 610, tweeted, Alex Smith, 8 on the defense. TJ Carpenter from 810, boy, the Chiefs defense doesn't know what to do with this offensive line. It's like, somehow, having a good one makes everyone look better. Ty Declare 44, one of the Patreons for this show. Thanks, Ty. Cincy is doing what the Chiefs strive to be on offense. Pound it, dink and dunk, deep, repeat. Except for they have a competent offensive line. Brandon Kiley at BK Sports Talk on Twitter. You know the blitz is coming. You know you're going to have no time. And you don't have a hot route. Why? Said, it's my responsibility. Got to do better. On the Chicago. At Joey Handcuffs tweeted at Arrowhead Pride and responded, Kelsey was not even in on that third down. Arrowhead Pride didn't know why. No Kelsey on the field during third down. Not great. Alex Smith started off the game 12 of 13 for 153 yards with basically no time and should have been 13 for 13. He had a drop pass earlier on. A sack crushed one of the Chiefs' drives. The O-line was awful. Smith, as Danny Parkins pointed out, had total happy feet. And he said this pressure isn't coming blindside. He could be doing more. He absolutely could. Please hear me. Alex Smith could absolutely be doing more. But so could the offensive line. And if both of them did more, we'd feel pretty good about this team, I think. But they're both basically hitting their floor. Although, again, Alex Smith played pretty well. Rolling back over to his stats, which obviously don't tell the whole story, so please don't freak out if I read you a stat line and use that as a point to say Alex Smith was not the problem here today. Alex Smith was 31 for 45, as I said earlier, for 386 yards. But he was sacked 5 times for 38 yards. And in some cases, that's on him. I get it. He's got to get rid of the ball quicker. He's got to have a place to go. He's got to have a hot route, which is between him and Andy Reid and Doug Peterson. But Smith has to do more. But it's hard to do much behind an offensive line that is so utterly porous. Going back to just before the half, at V. Gregorian tweeted, to review, the Chiefs let the clock run down to the 2-minute warning with 1st and 10 at the Bengals 26 and 2 timeouts left. Then they moved 9 yards in 1:51 to, quote-unquote, set up a field goal. That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. That's the worst part of Andy Reid, and he did it hard. 70-yard punt return from D'Anthony Thomas was pulled back to the 10-yard line because of holding. Chiefs couldn't get out of their own way. In fact, I thought Curtis Siebold from 810 said it pretty well. Bengals are begging to be beaten. Chiefs, to this point, indifferent to the idea. It's accurate and depressing. And now Marcus Peters, on that one long touchdown, Marcus Peters was beaten for, I think, honestly, the first time I can remember in maybe this entire season. He had the touchdown against DeAndre Hopkins, but that was just a perfect pass. And in this case, it was the Brandon Tate 55-yard touchdown on Peters. But there was a total lack of pressure, and when there's a total lack of pressure, eventually every corner gets beaten. So as disappointed as I am in and whoever's playing slot, be it Fleming or Cooper or Ron Parker, heaven forbid, Bob Sutton's biggest flaw right now, I think, is not manufacturing pressure in any way. Because again, it doesn't matter how good your corners are. The receivers are trying to get open. They're going to eventually get open if you never get to the quarterback. Andy Reid played his part and tried to bring D'Anthony Thomas in for the reverse. Then Smith missed on 2nd down, threw short to 3rd down. Santos comes in and kicks that field goal. It's miserable. Justin Houston almost got home, according to Therese Paylor, which is a tweet that I feel like I've seen for 4 straight games. And really, Houston, Holly, Poe, Bailey, DeVito, we're all just ghosts in this game. D. Ford, whatever. Ford and Bailey actually had one play where they almost got to Dalton, and I thought it would have counted as a hit. It certainly wasn't a knockdown. And that was it. That was absolutely it. And you could say the game ended on Travis Kelce's fumble, but it ended whenever the Chiefs constantly refused to score touchdowns. So then I asked a bunch of any Chiefs fan who would listen through my account and through at Arrowhead Addict on Twitter, at JB Briscoe is me. What do you expect now from the Chiefs this year? What do you expect after four games? My favorite response was from Allison Tepsick. Her answer was 84 more field goals. It's a great answer. I love that answer. Yes, I expect 84 more field goals from the Chiefs this year. But the overall response, they were varied, and they were mostly sad. So here's a sampling of the responses I received. Around 9-7 and screw themselves out of the high draft pick they desperately need. Last place in the AFC West with less than 5 wins. Before the year, 9-7, now no better than 7-9. Now 6-10, previously 10-6. My money refunded for the Chiefs-Bears game before I waste my time driving back to Kansas City. Another good response. Before the season, 10 wins. Now 5. I expect nothing from KC but trinkets and funny press quotes. I expect Alex to be released and Dorsey, Reed, Peters, and Sutton to be fired. That won't happen, but I respect your opinion, Jacob. Me before the season with emojis was a happy face, and now it's a frowny face. Well, as long as the Chiefs have the worst third down conversion rate and abysmal red zone offense, 4-5 wins. I kind of agree with that because with this success rate, that would be true. Not even Greg Robinson defense allowed 3 consecutive 30-plus point games. That's from at Jim Skillett. It's a good stat, Jim. Partially inflated because the Chiefs' offense gave up points against the Broncos. But it's true, and last year the Chiefs didn't give up 30 points in a single game all season. They've done it 3 straight times now. Before the season, they expected them to make the playoffs and vie for the division title. Now top 10 draft pick. I'm almost to the point that I don't get mad. I just shrug and say, man, they suck. I think that's a good place to be, Michael. I think that's a good... If you can breathe a little bit and let it go, you're probably going to be a happier person. Before the season, they expected 10 wins. Now hopeful for 6. Based on the last 3 games, not much. Before the season, it's the top of the AFC in the playoffs. Now I'm just hoping for a better record than Oakland. I expect a wild card berth. Preseason, I expected a division title and AFC championship game appearance. Very optimistic viewpoint there. Expect an awesome defense to be a force in the division. 8-8 if they're lucky. Playoff contenders, now a top 10 draft pick. Those are the responses I got from Chiefs fans after that game. And I can't tell you which one is right. I can't. I don't know. I can't say with any confidence what this team actually is, and that is the story of this franchise. The Chiefs started off the year against a team that we thought was pretty good, won on the road in Houston. Houston's not good. Their offense is bad. Their offense is really, really bad. Their defense is good-ish. I mean, J.J. Watt, really good. Rest of the defense, defense is fine. Chiefs produced. Alex Smith played pretty well across the board in that game. Then the Chiefs played 3 teams in a row who are all undefeated. Should have beaten Denver. Probably never would have won in Green Bay. Could have won in Cincinnati if some of those field goals turned to touchdowns. But the team should be 2-2 with 1 win against a team that would have been undefeated. Instead, they are 1-3 with all 3 losses against 3 undefeated teams. What's that say, though? Does that say, well, the Chiefs are, you know, just got beat by some better competition, even though one of them was at home again in a game they should have won? Or does it say the Chiefs got lucky in Houston and they're a 5-win team? Well, they're a 10-win team who had 3 really tough games in a row. I think the unfortunate answer, and the answer that I've grown pretty used to as a Chiefs fan, is they're right in the middle. That's what I said before this Bengals game. They've played 3 very, very good teams these last 3 weeks, 3 top-tier kind of teams. And the Chiefs are an average team. And they would be an above-average team if their defense ever showed up. It'd be a good team. They could be a good team if their defense looked like last year and the offense made some improvements. They could be a, very good team if all those things happen. But if just a little bit of that happen, you can start calling the Chiefs a good team. Right now, they're just not that good. The defense falling apart is enormous because we saw the question marks in the offense. Andy Reid, Alex Smith, Jeremy Maclin, Jamal Charles, the offensive line. You combine all those things, it's not obvious what you're going to get. Travis Kelce, you have a high ceiling there, but nothing really, really that you can be incredibly confident in as an overall offense. But the defense, we were counting on that. The defense had to look good. And again, the defense has played at least two very good offenses these last 2 weeks and gave up 38 points to the Packers, 36 to the Bengals. 31 to the Broncos with 7 courtesy of Jamal Charles. Plus, there's the turnovers in general. I'm not mad at the defense about the Broncos game because they were put in a bad position so many times by the offense and special teams. Now, let's look ahead. We'll talk about the Bears game in a second in full, but we look at the Bears. Then it's at Vikings, Steelers at home, probably when Ben Roethlisberger is coming back, according to a Jason Luckin 4 report. Lions in London. Then it's a bye week. The Chiefs need to be 500 coming out of that bye, or above. They're 1-3 right now. If they beat the Bears, lose in Minnesota, beat the Steelers at home, beat the Lions in London, the Chiefs are 4-4 going out of the bye week. I'd take that right now. I think this team might still be reeling from the Broncos game. They had their biggest rival, their division opponent, on the ropes at home and gave it away 5 times. I don't know if this team is back from that. I really don't. Travis Kelce says, we're still one of the best teams. Don't be worried. No. No, I will be worried. Don't tell me what to do, Travis. I will be worried. This team is abysmal right now. Playing very good teams, but losing ugly. 7 field goals. Don't tell me not to worry. You can't score 1 touchdown? It's the NFL. Force a turnover, score a touchdown. God. Chiefs have to be 500 coming out of the bye week, because then they go at Denver, at San Diego, Bills at home, at Raiders, Chargers at home, at Ravens, Browns at home, Raiders at home to finish the season. If you're 4-4 going into that, you can tell yourself, hey, we can go 5-3 the rest of the way and have a real shot at a wild card. And that's what this team is. That is what this team is. This team is not winning the division. This team is not winning the division. And this team's not going to be 4-12 unless I really am missing something right now. They're going to be fighting for a wild card spot, and if they get really lucky, they'll go to Indianapolis and lose in the first round again. Chicago Bears at Kansas City Chiefs, Sunday, Arrowhead Stadium. This is a must-win game. If the Chiefs lose to the Bears at home this week, the season's over. It's just over. The Bears just barely squeaked by the Raiders at home. Raiders, by the way, we haven't talked about other teams very much in this show this year. Raiders look pretty good. Raiders have some stuff. Carr looks good. Cooper looks good. Latavius Murray is good. Their defense is coming together. Raiders look pretty good right now, but the Bears barely squeaked by the Raiders at home. And Jay Cutler has returned. Alshon Jeffrey should be around for this game, we think. John Fox said that they will not have center Will Montgomery as a broken fibula. So, obviously, he won't be in this game. Kevin White for the Bears still not around, if you remember him from the draft. Matt Forte is the face of the franchise, along with Jay Cutler, which is an aging core there. As I mentioned earlier, the only team rivaling the Chiefs in crappy defensive numbers is the Bears. The Chiefs must beat the Bears at home. And if they don't, I really believe this is not an exaggeration. I really truly believe this. And I try not to be an overreactor. And I'm looking around at a lot of Chiefs fans and a lot of Chiefs analysts and writers and stuff. I'm seeing a lot of overreactions still, even at 1-3. So hear me say this level-headedly. If the Chiefs lose to the Bears at home this week, something big should happen. I mean, really, something drastic, probably. I mean, I'm assuming it would be a defensive problem. The Chiefs' offense, I think, will be fine in this game. If Bob Sutton's defense falls apart in this game for the third straight week, but this time against the Bears, and the Chiefs lose, fire him on Monday. Really. Fire him on Monday. If the Chiefs can't hold down the Chicago Bears offense, if they can't get pressure on Jay Cutler with a very mediocre offensive line, and the offense can't keep up against another really crappy defense that looks like their own right now, I don't know. Fire Bob Sutton. Andy Reid should give the play calling duties to Doug Peterson. Something. Something's going to have to happen if the Chiefs lose this game. And Matt Verderam, much to my surprise, editor of Arrowhead Addict here, he says the Bears are going to beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs are 10.5-point favorites. He writes, it's impossible to pick Kansas City 1-3 to cover the spread right now. The question is whether the Chiefs can rise up and win a must-win game. Kansas City has allowed 74 points over the last two games. Chicago, 1-3, faces a Chicago offense that has some weapons. Frankly, I have no confidence in the Chiefs showing guts and winning. This feels like the moment of a total unraveling. Chicago 31, Kansas City 23. He thinks the Bears win by 8. I'll tell you what, if the Chiefs lose this game by 8, it will be the beginning of a total unraveling. And I won't listen to Andy Reid's press conference when he says, I've got to be better. We've got to do better. I will not want to hear that at all. The Chiefs are the biggest favorite in Week 5, or at least opened that way. 10.5 points. I think it started at 11. If they lose this game after starting 1-3 and having every semblance of a must-win game happen right now, and a must-win game against a very, very poor, against a poor team, against another average team at absolute best. It's not a must-win game on the road against Denver, like to get in the playoffs or something. This is a must-win game in Week 5 at home against a bad team. If that actually comes to fruition, if the Chiefs lose it at home by 8, yeah, it will be a total unraveling. A quick glance through the Bears' depth chart. I mentioned the receivers. That's going to be the biggest question for the Chiefs to have to deal with right now. Alshon Jeffrey will probably end up against Marcus Peters for the most part. Boy, Josh Bellamy is a Bear, which I didn't know. It's a blast from the past. But we know about Alshon Jeffrey. I think he'll get the A.J. Green treatment a little bit, where the Chiefs in the red zone put two guys on him like he was like on a punt team. You know, they just going to hit him, bracket him, keep him basically in place so Andy Dalton couldn't go to him. Then quarterback's got to go to the second guy. The second receiver, even when it was Nate Washington for the Texans, the second receiver is what's going to burn the Chiefs, because that's – and really the slot receiver, even more accurately, I would say. Or perhaps a tight end. Martellus Bennett could have a nice game here. But Eddie Royal is the second receiver on this Bears team. I think we're going to see him put in the slot plenty against the Chiefs. I don't know who else they'll line up wide. Maybe Marquise Wilson. They don't have a scary number two receiver outside of Eddie Royal, who, again, I think will be in the slot a bunch. And Cutler will try to pick on that Royal Cooper, Royal Fleming, Royal Ron Parker, Royal Tyvon Branch matchup. Any of those whenever they're available. I think the Chiefs will probably do a pretty good job of Alshon Jeffrey and keeping him down. But whoever lines up in the slot, and maybe Jeffrey will end up in the slot, will be a problem. And if Alshon Jeffrey goes to the slot, the defense needs to go with him. If Peters or Sean Smith should be on Alshon Jeffrey every single snap, without exception. I honestly don't care if Jeffrey starts in the backfield. Peters or Smith should be spying him every single play. Don't let him out of your sight. The same is going to go for Matt Forte. Maybe we see Forte play a little more wide out than we've seen him do as of late. Put him in the slot and see what he can do against a good matchup. It's going to be interesting to see what the Bears try to do, because the Chiefs' defense is pretty easy to defeat right now, as is the Chiefs' offense on some level, but the Bears' defense is bad. The Chiefs' defense has been bad. Macklin and Smith, that connection for 11 receptions last week, I think we're going to see something similar again. Expect a lot of targets his direction, just because the Bears' pass defense is their biggest weakness. And the Chiefs, I believe, with Alex Smith and Jeremy Macklin and Travis Kelce and throwing it to Jamaal Charles, I think are capable of exploiting that. Although Chris Conley, Albert Wilson was hurt last week, and Chris Conley didn't do much until way late in the game. But I think the Chiefs have the ability to exploit that if the offensive line holds up. So let's talk OL a little bit. Ben Almquist at Citadel Chief. Dude, the offensive line will be a popular draft target in 2016. Chiefs, Dolphins, Vikings, Denver, San Diego, Indianapolis, all quote-unquote good teams feeling the weight of poor offensive line play. And he's right, that will be a target, will be a major target from a lot of teams. But the fan bases will then freak out about it because people hate drafting offensive linemen. I get it. Eric Fisher, who's played pretty well these couple of games compared to the rest of the offensive line, not a fun number one overall draft pick. It's not. I like what I've seen from Fisher for the most part, before his injury at least. It wasn't a fun pick. But the biggest problem for the Chiefs offensive line these last couple of weeks has been the inside. Mitch Morse is still playing pretty well, but Ben Grubbs on his left, and then this week, Zach Fulton, my favorite offensive lineman in football, on the right side, both had really poor games. A lot of pressure up the middle. And Eric Fisher is among, this is from Pro Football Focus, offensive tackles who have yet to allow a sack or hit this year. Joe Thomas, Jake Matthews, Donald Penn, Trent Williams, Eric Fisher, and Andrew Whitworth. And I know that Eric Fisher has only started two games, so don't freak out. But if you said Eric Fisher wouldn't allow a hit or a sack on the quarterback in two games, you'd take that. There's nothing to gripe about there. Jeff Allen, strangely, not getting a conversation for playing time either at either tackle position or back at right guard where he used to play. Zach Fulton was bad. LDT was awful 2 weeks ago. Fulton was bad this last week. Ben Grubbs, I think you're pretty much committed to him, but he's been playing very poorly. A frequent tweeter to the show, @IM_Alex on Twitter, said, I was wondering your take on Stevenson's poor play the last 2 weeks. I know you believe he could be the one. I hope I haven't said that, because that would be wrong. I think he's the better fit at left tackle than Eric Fisher, or I guess I should say I think he's a really poor fit at right tackle, and Eric Fisher at right tackle makes more sense. I don't think he's the one. I think he should have been playing a lot more last year. I think he should have been playing right guard last year. But I don't think he is the answer. Now, right now, is Eric Fisher the best right tackle on the team, and then Donald Stevenson becomes the best left tackle? Yeah. Yeah, I guess. That's all the conviction I have about it, but sure. But I think we're under-emphasizing the interior offensive line. And I did this too. I didn't want the Chiefs to go sign Evan Mathis for a 2-year deal. Whenever I saw the 1-year deal that he signed with the Broncos, I was a little bit bummed out. Although he hasn't been playing extremely well with Denver. But Alex Smith, if there's one type of pressure he can deal with, I think it's the outside edges. Because if he has some space ahead of him, he can step up. And he can just take off and try to hit the hole, which is not a great thing. You don't want Aaron Rodgers doesn't do that every time. But if Alex Smith has a little bit of space in front of him and the edges collapse and, say, Stevenson and Fisher just slide their guys back and the pocket kind of collapses behind Smith, that's okay. Smith can actually deal with that. But Smith becomes totally neutralized whenever pressure comes up the middle. He loses his feet. He tries to do some Tim Tebow spinning around stuff, or he'll just take a sack, or he'll throw an ill-advised pass. If he has nowhere to step, if he doesn't have the option to tuck it and run, or even just the option to scramble a little bit, with the middle being slightly open, he has no chance. And again, that's something where if you're Aaron Rodgers can take pressure up the middle and still make a throw. We're dealing with Alex Smith. Alex Smith, yes, his contract is bad. I wish that wasn't his contract. But he's the best option the Chiefs have right now. He's probably the best option the Chiefs have had since Andy Reid and John Dorsey were here, unless you want to count Teddy Bridgewater and Derek Carr and those young guys, which I completely understand wishing that the Chiefs had one of those successful young quarterbacks. So I won't even take that tangent. I'm with you there. Don't yell at me. But we're dealing with Alex Smith. You want to argue that Ryan Fitzpatrick would have been the better option for the money? Okay, fine. Not my real point right now. Alex Smith has to have some space up front. And Jeff Allen not getting a shot even at right guard yet, it's a little bit strange to me. Maybe at left guard. I don't know. Maybe Ben Grubbs. Maybe you watch the game tape again and you go, oh, Ben Grubbs is getting whipped constantly. Maybe his contract and this fifth-round pick was a waste. Again, the problem, though, is if that's truly a waste, that contract is going to be on the books for a couple of years. It's going to take some good offensive line play. The pass rush is going to have to wake up and go get Jay Cutler. But I think the Chiefs win at home this week by less than the 10.5 spread. I say they win 27-20. But I'm not excited or confident about it. I'm really not. I mean, I think they pull it off. I legitimately think they win this game. not just that I want them to, but I think they will. But I'm not going to be excited about a sub-500 team winning football games. Now, they just played a primetime game at home against their biggest rival, then a primetime game on the road, and then on the road against an undefeated team on a short week. It's a tough three-game stretch, again, against three undefeated teams. But you can't make excuses like that. You can't make excuses and mean them like that. That's just something that happened. It's just how it is. You don't force turnovers. You don't get a pass rush. You can't block. Nothing else matters. I mean, if you have Tom Brady in that situation, maybe. Maybe you've got something. But what the Chiefs have to overcome right now is just themselves. Even in cases like against the Bengals with that 70-yard punt return from DeAnthony Thomas, they got in their own way, pulled it all the way back. That could have been a game changer. Travis Kelce, that fumble. End of the game. Turning red zone possessions into field goals. Not going to happen. Horrible play calling at the end of the half, Andy Reid. Going to cost you a game. Bob Sutton. Can't get pressure. Can't cover up your one weakness in the secondary. Your slot guy. Not going to win in the NFL. It's not going to happen. In this case, I think the Chiefs just win because they're a little bit better of a team all around. I think I'd prefer the Chiefs offense. I prefer the Chiefs defense. I prefer the Chiefs special teams. Coaching is really even. John Fox, Andy Reid. Yeah, I think the Chiefs win, but I think they're going to have to start doing some stuff these next couple of weeks, these next four games. They got to go 3-1. And they have to start believing and showing that they have a little something extra to be bringing to the table. Because right now, this team looks so bad basically everywhere. And for the most part, they just added pieces this offseason. I think the Chiefs win, but it's not going to be exciting until they're back at 500 and you can see a playoff path from there. Before we head out on this show, I want to take a second and talk a little bit about the best ways you can help to support this show. If you like this show, if you like having a weekly all-Chiefs show, it's going to take you 30, 45 minutes, maybe an hour into your week, giving you Chiefs reactions, Chiefs predictions, Chiefs questions, and reactions also not just from me, but from any Chiefs fan who wants to throw some stuff to me at JB Briscoe on Twitter. You can get in touch with me there always. You can go to the Roughing the Kicker Facebook page, facebook.com/RTK show. If you have longer messages you want to send to the show, longer questions, bigger ideas, you can send Facebook messages to that page, and I will get into the habit of checking them. You can share this show with any of your friends and family who also care about hearing the Chiefs every single week and hearing things that national coverage won't bring you, even local coverage. There's a lot of really great local coverage in Kansas City, but it's hard to find 45 straight minutes of nothing but Chiefs. And in a lot of cases, I really like being able to have that. Plus, it's a podcast. You can take it with you. If you're out of the Kansas City area, I'd also just love to hear from you. Let me know where you are, where you listen to this show. It is Roughing the Kicker crossing international borders. I know it was for a little while, actually. And also, you can write reviews on iTunes. The best thing you can do to keep up with the show always is to subscribe to the show on iTunes or an Android app that basically uses the iTunes subscription format. Just search Roughing the Kicker and wherever you get your podcasts from and subscribe. You'll never miss an episode that way. And usually shows come out through the iTunes stream, sometimes as much as a day before it comes out on Arrowhead Addict. So if you listen on Arrowhead Addict, definitely jump in whenever you can comment, but subscribe to the show through iTunes. Get it straight to your phone or your iPod or your device just as soon as it comes out. It's the best way to always make sure you get the show. But the biggest and newest thing you can do for Roughing the Kicker is go to patreon.com/RTK. That's patreon.com/RTK. You can then throw as little as $5 or as much as $100 to the show towards my general direction to help support this happening every single week. This is for stuff like iTunes hosting, bandwidth support, hopefully being able to do some hardware upgrades, hopefully having to have a couple of guests coming on the show more frequently going forward. But the easiest way to do that is going to be with some software that I currently can't afford on the current Roughing the Kicker budget. There are a few hardware issues that I have consistently every episode that I'm getting pretty good at working around, but to be able to upgrade in that department would be fantastic. Plus, I'd like to be able to do two shows a week whenever possible, but right now, as far as time and doing this show as a volunteer love effort, it makes a two-show-a-week thing a little bit out of reach. And if you'd like to full-on sponsor an episode of this show, if it's all for your Twitter account, or if it's for a product you have or something that you think Chiefs fans would really enjoy, you can do that through Patreon. And if you want to get more specific, you can message me again either on Twitter at JB Briscoe or on Facebook, facebook.com/RTK Show. Love to hear any ideas that anyone has. But a few people right now who are, the four people right now who are pushing this show forward is Ben Rahman, Jason Essler, Ty DeClaire, and Christine Roadlander. Christine Roadlander is at CRoadlander on Twitter. Ty DeClaire is at TyDeClaire44. Those people are keeping Reverend the Kicker on the air right now with their, I guess, donations, but with their financial support of this effort. I appreciate that so, so much. I really believe in this show. I've been doing it for 2 years now. I think it's amazing that on a weekly basis, all of these Chiefs fans will come around and listen to me blab about my favorite thing to talk about. And supporting the show through patreon.com/RTK is the best way you can do that. But if you can't, all you can do is talk about it with your friends and family or tweet about it or whatever you can do. I appreciate that just as much. And as I wrap up this bucket of self-promotion, I want to clarify, it's awesome that people will listen to me talk about the Chiefs when I love to be able to do that, break it down, watch the games as an analyst, and then be able to share that with a bunch of other Chiefs fans. But this show's not for me. I could talk to myself in my car without recording it and save some effort and a little bit of stress. Having the back and forth, the actual conversational relationship with the group of you who listen to the show, who will get into a conversation on Twitter, or who will send a Facebook message, or who will say, hey, a couple weeks ago after the Broncos game, I had one guy tweet me and say, this is a great show. I really liked the different format and kind of just venting. Somebody else said, that was a rough episode. It sounded like some kind of crummy morning talk show stuff, reading tweets. I really appreciate that kind of feedback on either side. I like to know what you like, what you're hearing, when you don't like what you're hearing, what you want more of, what you want less of, what you actually want from this show. And I want to make sure that there's a dialogue going on. I talk for 45 minutes every week, but that's not the point. The point is that you're listening, and then we get to talk about it as an actual conversation after the show ends. So all that being said, the Patreon page is a fantastic way to support the show. Telling people about the show is just as great. And even if all you do is put in your earbuds and I don't even know that you exist other than by seeing that you played the show, I am hugely grateful for all of you who consistently come back, listen week after week after week, and enjoy this podcast. If you're still listening after all of that, thank you. This has been the Roughing the Kicker podcast on ArrowheadAddict.com, Arrowhead Addict Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Briscoe. Get to me on Twitter at JB Briscoe, which I think I've said more this episode than any other episode ever. Facebook page, facebook.com/RTK Show. On the way out, let's look at the AFC West really quickly. The Broncos, we know, are 4-0. The Raiders and Chargers, both starting the year off at 500, 2-2. The Chiefs, obviously, 1-3. I'm very interested to see how this is going to play out. I'm curious now, if you're still listening and just want to answer kind of a very open-ended question, what do you think the final standings of the AFC West will be this year? Seems pretty clear that the Broncos will be on the top unless something disastrous happens. And even if the Chiefs climb back to 500 before the bye week, probably won't put them in second in the division yet. Raiders and the Chargers have some good stuff going on. But we know that the Chiefs have one secret weapon. As soon as the playoffs are decided by field goals, we are in business.
Excuse me, sir, but could you drop the bass?
Bye, Mom! Base.